It's there already. Wow.
Maybe just a word that when we speak of the work there in Santiago, Chile, I was thinking just now how that kind of began really was strange. We had a conference, I believe Bob Self was one of the speakers in Buenos Aires, and as we had invited a Chilean, Omar Ramos, to come, he came with such an injured hand. I don't know if you remember that, Bob. He was some kind of wired up kind of thing. He was in pain just to put on his clothes and brought two excellent messages. And it was during that time through the different messages probably. And he decided he didn't want to stay in his Arminian church fighting with everyone over the doctrines of God's amazing grace. And he decided he needed to go home and work through the decision of peacefully leaving that congregation to start another church on the other side of the city. He really did not want to continue in a fighting kind of thing. And through all kinds of things, that was in 2005, I believe. And then the church came about in about 2006 and had a time of growth. And then there have been a number of divisions. It's almost like when you think of churches and divisions, this church has just gone through one after another. And so as I show some of this to you, I would ask you to be praying that they would have a really profitable time. They have just gone through a time where probably the man who, as I would see it, through all these years has been the divisive one, and a group left because of how he argued with them. And then another group he formed later then left, though he just finally at the very end, he drew back and didn't go with them. And then finally he formed one more group and they left about, earlier this year. And so after they left, the church has changed its name to Reformed Baptist Church, Iglesia Bautista Reformada. And then you can read how they've adopted this new name. And they have a very structured week. They do have a time of a very serious prayer as they come and meet together. And then they're, let's see if this is going to come up. They do have a Bible study. They meet in a really an unusual place. It's a municipality park, and it has some very nice classrooms and different buildings, a Roman Catholic chapel, but they're able to use some of the classrooms. And they have had the privilege of meeting there free, so the price has been right. They do have that actual filming of their services and putting them up on the internet. And I think they have now something like 8 different countries in Latin America that are responding to their sermons on a weekly basis. So they have redone their whole website, and all that is going forward very well with what they're doing there. One of the exciting things has been a work that they helped start called in Curicavi. A young Peruvian man came to Chile when he was 21 years old, became a Christian while he was in Chile, and through amazing circumstances has come to understand the doctrines of grace. We had the ordination service there, and then his very careful saving, he bought a property, and there they have been building their chapel. And little by little, they have made great progress. The last time I was there, they had a roof and 3 walls. And now I understand they have 4 walls, which is it's a great thing. Sometimes we're trying to figure out how we can get out beyond our 4 walls with the gospel. But they needed to get it closed in. And Edwin Murga Acosta. And he works during the night. There's all kinds of harvest in that area. The vineyards are in that area, and quite often they have to work all night because of the way they pick those and they bring in the harvest. And that work there in Curicavi is about an hour and 15 minutes from Santiago there, going towards the coast. And then the work they have is down, another work they have is down south. And if you'll notice, let's see. Anyway, the man right next to Obed, if some of you, anyway, Obed is the highest point there. And the man next to him is a student in his last year at the university. He's from the Mapuche tribe. His family has been prominent in that tribe. And his desire is, after finishing university, to go back and work with his own people, taking the gospel to them. So there's a real, I think, encouragement that the church, even though it's a very small work, they already feel this missionary endeavor that they can be involved with. They are hopeful sometime to try to have their own property, as they are seeing some growth, and they are quite involved. One of the things that has happened, Omar, we're looking forward to his coming back and having a time of preaching there in the church, as there's been a very good relationship between Omar and Obed. The position that Omar has now is he has the position in the basement of the largest evangelical bookstore, where all the theology books and commentaries and everything there in Santiago. And it was the position that Obed had. And so it's kind of been a neat thing. So Obed goes in to talk to Omar every month and get caught up on literature and books. And so there's been a very good relationship on that. And the church there, with Omar and Obed, their great interest in books is part of what they've been working with. This is a retreat that they have annually, just about an hour outside of Santiago. Let me say just a word about Obed. He's has this voice that he can fill a whole room by singing. He wouldn't need any kind of microphone at all. He really does have a very powerful voice for preaching. He has an unusual knowledge of the history of Chile. I spent one time over 3 hours walking in a cemetery. It's the cemetery that used to be where they would throw all the bodies of the Protestants, those who had tuberculosis. It was kind of just a place where it was a garbage dump almost. And it has become the cemetery where all these different ones are buried. And you could go from one place to the next, and he would give a history of how this man from the Salvation Army was martyred and all the story of their background there. And I love history, but it was a long 3 hours, really, because it was amazing, his knowledge of all these details, dates and days, and where in Santiago. He really does have a mind for that. So again, they had they do their baptisms quite often at this retreat each year, because there's a swimming pool there, and that particular year that we were there, they had six baptisms there, if I remember correctly. And then this is Obed and his Maria Teresa, Maria Thay. So if we could have a couple men again pray for the work there in Santiago, Chile, and the surrounding works. There's two, for instance, Baptist churches that Obed travels to that are all the way down past Puerto Montt. And two of them of about 300 or 400 people. And right now he has supplied them with 1689 confessions. And they're going through the Confession of Faith, just studying the theology of this in their Sunday schools there in these churches. And so that's why I say it's not something, aha, we've put together some kind of organization or something's taking place. The Lord is doing these work, opening doors and all these places. Just we're surprised here. And suddenly here's people thundering forth the truth. In fact, some of them, they're dealing with, in Argentina, what is it, the student group down in Rosario. I mean, growth is taking place in these different places through the Internet. And they're finding these sermons and finding books and literature. It's like there's a hunger. And so we really would ask that you pray for God to do a great work through what is happening there in the seminary, William Carey, and they're establishing these local churches. there, Jorge Molina, and then especially, I think, pray that the Lord will give real unity, that they'll actually have a couple, 2 or 3 years of peace. Sometimes, really, I have been at the place where I just thought, you know, a whole day listening to these accusations, and you feel like, shut up. The gospel says, forgive each other. And then somebody here actually said to me, boy, those Latins sure do argue with each other. And I looked at him, There is a need to pray for ourselves in all these kinds of areas. So let's pray together that God would do that great work and enable the gospel to go forth. We're in so many ways, there have been these closed doors for centuries. And now, amazingly, the doors are open. So if a couple would lead in prayer, and then I'll close in prayer. Our Father, those words do give us great encouragement. That the earth will be filled with the glory of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We thank you for the message of this morning. We pray, Father, that it would sink down into our lives, our hearts, our minds. And in our depression, our discouragements, our sins even, Lord, that you would be gracious to remind us that it is your work. We thank you for how you have raised up those who would proclaim your glory, the glory of your knowledge, the beauty of Christ. We thank you for Sam Masters and Corita, and pray, Lord, you would continue to strengthen them and cause them to be for your glory. Use this very time to strengthen and encourage. We pray also for Jorge and Vilma, and we thank you for them and for the faithfulness and for the growth, even to think a man his age growing in your knowledge. We thank you that he has overcome different areas and made real progress and has a maturity to preach your word. We thank you for Obed and Maria Teresa. And as we thank you for each of these, we pray especially for the wives. We can't think of anything more important, humanly speaking, than the wives of these servants of yours as servants together. Oh Lord, may they be truly of one flesh, working together, serving and giving glory to your name. We do believe that especially the privilege and the open door in Latin America, that the family shows forth the gospel in a very special way. May Jesus Christ be praised, in whose name we pray. Amen.